You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Can't imagine going up in a balloon. I was very interested in this, and I found out after the fact. I didn't see it live, but David Blaine, who's an illusionist, decided he'd pull a stunt that actually, I don't think anybody had ever done it until the man in, and I'm going to get in trouble again, because just about every year on the anniversary of when he went up in a lawn chair with balloons, hot air balloons tied to his lawn chair, he left out of a town, which if you looked at it, you would pronounce it San Pedro. But they pronounce it San Pedro, and I found that out when I got there. Okay, so to pronounce it correctly, which I always try to do. Anyway, it's near Long Beach, California, south of Los Angeles, and he went about 18,000 feet in the air. It was back, I think it might have been in the late 70s. But sitting in a lawn chair, and he really basically just wanted to see if he could go up in the air. Yeah, oh yeah, about 18,000 feet, I think 16 or 18,000 feet this guy went. He didn't drift very far, thankfully, you know, because basically you become part of the air. So he could have just taken off, he could have headed out in the Pacific, you know. Did he think of that? I don't know. I'm pretty sure David Blaine, the illusionist, in his flight over the Arizona desert, attached to 52 helium balloons, pretty much thought everything through. Although when he took off, I mean, it kind of looked like he was almost hanging on, you know, by a thread. But he was, I'm sure, pretty well attached. And he's done a lot of illusion stuff. That's very interesting. He dubbed it the Ascension. Mm-hmm. See, the thing, when Christ ascended, he kept going. He didn't have to come back down. David Blaine's going to have to come back down. That's the thing, right? His goal was to go 24,000 feet in the air. I honestly think he missed it by a couple hundred, because if you watch the video, which I will share with you, it looks like the man on the radio is saying, couple hundred more feet, just a couple hundred more feet. No, no. And he let go. And see, he had a parachute, but he was kind of not, you know, he wasn't obviously wearing it. I guess he didn't put it on until he got up there pretty high. But anyway, it's just an interesting thing. Took him an hour to get up there. It was live streamed on YouTube as a stunt, you know. But it's pretty high. It's over 4.5 miles high. So he's falling down and came on down. And he made it. So it's interesting that he caught it. That, I guess, he just wanted to feel like a little bit what it would be like to get up in here. Don't we all?
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to my favorite morning show, the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So I was a little surprised this morning that somebody who's, and I would say they're kind of on Facebook a lot. They're that age where they're just tuned in to that, you know. And I laugh when I think about Facebook. I thought, boy, how many billion of us jumped all over that. It's our own fault. I mean, we all signed up for it. You know, we're all like, oh yeah, let's do this, you know, and sounds good to me and all this kind of stuff. But I just, you know, you can't just jump up and down and react to something that you see on Facebook. You know, a famous pastor is talking with another famous pastor. He said Jesus wasn't really God, you know, and some wild thing like that. I mean, you know, and people just start jumping up and down. Oh, you know, and just and that doesn't have to be the only topic, to my enemy. But I was just thinking, just relax. It's just I take everything, and maybe that's not good. I just take everything really with a grain of salt. I mean, even photographs, you know, all the stuff. You just really have to just relax. Let it settle a little, you know, get excited. We'll see. Was it really news, you know? I was thinking about, Facebook. Facebook is going to actually pay people. I just made the news this morning. They're going to actually pay people not to be on Facebook during the election season, which we're barreling towards it right now. And one of those things. So I'm sure that there are a lot of people that I know that would be like, you want to pay me not to be on it?
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
So the latest thing for school is really after school, and it's swimming, so that kids can break up the boredom of the whole school thing and, learning online at home and things like that. Someone recently said, and I was thinking back on the days before school, the first day of school is always going to be, I guess excitement as well, too, but there's always that jitters, where you can't sleep and things like that. And this is the father. He was remembering back to his days of being in school. But, and here's the thing. This year, our kids, everything's changed just about. Even the car line procedures are changed. There's temperature checkpoints. We can't walk our kids to class. You have to keep track of all these masks and germ minimizing stuff. And, they're supposed to learn while they're there as well, too. So it just seems like every day in the year 2020 seems to present new challenges. Sanitizing backpacks, logging into another e-learning app, minding the kids to keep track of your mask during recess. Oh, no. You think about those little kids like that. I remember my daughter, because she's our firstborn, and this stuff was a kind of new experience. Getting off the bus, she used to have to transfer, so she had like a sign around her neck, I guess, what bus she was going to transfer to and everything. But she could have handled it, I'm sure. But I just always had that visual of her jumping down off the school bus one day, and I'm waiting for her, and she's not even as big as the tires on the school bus. And I'm like, how do they do this? It seems so much, but they do it and they learn to do it.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
You got to skip the line pass. I'm giving it to you for Cup of Joe Morning Show. Yeah, thank you very much.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show, the sound of life.
Fast food chain Dairy Queen. Kind of thinking about things in the summer, it's kind of ironic. Is it close the pools and the beach season's over? 90 degrees. Okay, that's the way it is. Man, it was really tough down south because it was like, it was going to be this hot for a while. Okay, not like in Florida by any means, but you're in Florida, you're just glad to cool off and get down below 90 at some point. Somebody, but I digress. Dairy Queen has announced a line of dessert-inspired candles. Wow. They did it on Twitter and sold out within an hour. Wow. Of the people paying attention. It was back last Thursday, they launched what is called the Fall Blizzard Treat Candle Collection. And as the name suggests, it's a lineup of six candles inspired by flavors of its popular blizzard dessert. The new scented candles inspired by the company's autumn dessert menu include, if you haven't eaten yet, caramel apple pie blizzard, a choco dipped strawberry blizzard, brownie dough blizzard, and Oreo mocha fudge blizzard. Yes. Dairy Queen also brought back two scented candles that it launched last fall. Completely got by me. Really did. Snickerdoodle Cookie Dough Blizzard and Pumpkin Pie Blizzard. All righty. So it's okay, I guess. And I can understand that. You want to get in on it. It's a kind of a novelty kind of a thing, But remember when the whole apple pie cooking candle came out? I don't know who started that whole thing, How many people have been hoodwinked by that? Just flim-flammed by it. Our senses are heightened and aroma is very important. It is. It's very important in the Bible. Check it out. And so you get this aroma and you're like, oh, man, and your whole body is getting ready and gearing up for that apple pie. Oh, no, that's a candle I got going. What? Your eyes twitching, your face is crooked. You're like, what? So that's the way I am. When I buy things to scent the house, it's generally woodsy. when she calls us. I'm like over the weekend, I'm like, and I got something new. I don't even know what it's called, but it has some kind of woods outdoorsy stuff in it. You like that, huh? That, you know, I like it. I think it ought to be, it's kind of like the outdoors coming in the indoors, right? But there you go. I guess pretty smart by the old Dairy Queen, you know, that's the Blizzard Fall Collection in candles coming up. I don't know. And speaking of Oreo, I agree with Mac Powell. For some reason, this came up because I do eat, okay, I'm addicted to the gluten-free Oreo cookies that are out there. And so I haven't had a real gluten filled cookie in 30 years, probably. I don't know, not 20 years. So I don't know what it's like, and I don't want to know. But these are really good. And so one time a couple of weeks ago, they were out of them at the store, and they had the double filled. And somebody was like, "Oh, that's even better." I said, "No, no, no. I agree with Mac Powell. No, there's a reason that the original has a certain amount of filling and a certain amount of cookie. You know, it's not all chocolate chips in the chocolate chip cookie. You got to have that balance. It's like life. It's a balance in there. It's just like life. There's so much cookie and so much filling, and that's the balance, and that's the way it is."
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rise and shine.
The sound of life.
If you work for Hormel, listen up, or if you want to, I don't know, people may be lining up after this. They just announced a couple of days ago that they will begin offering 2 years of free college tuition to the children of their American employees beginning next year. And it is not even based on test scores. You know, a lot of those pay for your college thing, you have to have a certain GPA. No. You don't. This new program is a way to create equality in education admissions. They feel, the company hopes, many who take advantage of the offer will be first-generation college students in their families. It's called Inspired Pathways. Love that. Inspired Pathways. The program will begin in the fall of 2021. And a spokesperson for Hormel Foods told News & Company that they have 16,000 domestic employees, and the program is open to any dependent child of those workers. Wow. The goal is that it costs us a lot. We want as many people to go as possible. Jim Sheehan, he's executive vice president and CFO in the state. So they got the financial officer in on, so that's a good deal. You know, so at least accounting knows about it. That's not going to surprise them. And they have done similar things like that Hormel Foundation. I've done similar things. So, you know, he said it isn't just investing money in a program or making a large effort to make sure people know about it, encouraging supervisors to reach out to the employees about it and help guide them through the process if they're interested. Wow. Oh, I bet they'll find out about it. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
So you tell me, who's the bigger hero? The security guard who was watching a 75-year-old woman come up $13 short on paying her bill and digging around in her pocketbook and stuff. And you can tell she's like, oh, dear, what am I going to do? You know, and it's she's feeling worse and worse. And the people behind her are going, oh, you know how we are. And so he just stepped in. He said he could feel his mother saying, you know, that. And he said, I felt like my mom was sending me this message right then and there. Help her, you know, just the way she raised us as a single mother, me and my sister. So we stepped up and he helped her out. $13, you know, just saved her life, basically, right? He got a really good reward from that. Or Sergeant Major Thomas Patrick Payne, United States Army Ranger, served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He will be receiving the Medal of Honor from the President. Big ceremony, obviously, as it should be. He will be recognized for heroic actions in 2015 raid. Freed about 70 ISIS hostages that were facing imminent execution in a town in Iraq. Him and other U.S. military members accompanied Kurdish forces to rescue the prisoners, many of whom were Kurdish fighters. Intelligence officials reported that aerial photos of the ISIS compound showed newly dug graves for the soon-to-be-executed prisoners. Wow. Of course, that's the reason he's getting, being awarded the Medal of Honor. You know, security guard got a nice thank you. But both of them would have done it, surely, were not ever even thinking about any kind of a reward to do it. Both, I'm sure, had the same motive. Because, and you may very well argue that, well, he's a U.S. Army Ranger. That's what he's doing, his job. Exactly. That's exactly right. And he's not thinking about the danger. He's thinking about those people. We're gonna save their lives. And just like the security guard standing in line, it's a desperate situation. He's just going to stand there and do nothing. Not on his watch. Nope, he's stepping up. Some interesting thing. It's just something I was thinking about, you know, and really no difference. I mean, both those people were stepping up and doing what needed to be done right then. That's what you're going to do today, isn't it?
Listener supported, The Sound of Life.
Baseball, yes. Batters hustling to the plate to take their swings. Questionable calls going uncontested. Umpires being thanked after the game. Fans returning foul balls. This is Major League Baseball? Well, it was for a few weeks during the spring of 1995. Professional baseball was a different game. The million-dollar arms were at home. The Cadillac bats were in the rack. The contracted players were negotiating for more money. The owners, determined to start the season, threw open the gates to almost anybody who knew how to scoop a grounder or run out a bunt. These weren't minor leaguers. The minor leaguers were also on strike. These were fellows who went from coaching Little League one week to wearing a Red Sox uniform the next. The games weren't fancy, mind you. Line drives rarely reached the outfield. One manager said his pitchers threw the ball so slowly the radar gun couldn't clock them. A fan could shell a dozen peanuts in the time it took a relay throw from outfield. The players huffed and puffed more like the little engine they could. But, my, did the players have fun! The diamond was studded with guys who played the game for the love of the game. When the coach said run, they ran. When he needed a volunteer to shag flies, a dozen hands went up. They arrived before the park was open, greasing their gloves and cleaning their cleats. And when it was time to go home, they stayed until the grounds crew ran them off. They thanked the attendants for washing their uniforms. They thanked the caterers for the food. They thanked the fans for paying the dollar to watch. The line of players willing to sign autographs was longer than the line of fans wanting them. These guys didn't see themselves as a blessing to baseball, but baseball as a blessing to them. They didn't expect luxury. They weren't surprised by it. They didn't demand more playtime. They were thrilled to play at all. It was baseball again. In Cincinnati, the general manager stepped out on the field and applauded the fans for coming out. The Phillies gave away free hot dogs and sodas. In the trade of the year, Cleveland Indians gave five players to the Cincinnati Reds for free. It wasn't classy. You missed the three-run homers and frozen rope pickoffs, but that was forgiven for the pure joy of seeing some guys play who really enjoyed the game. What made them so special? Well, it was simple. They were living a life they didn't deserve. These guys didn't make it to the big leagues on skill. They made it on luck. They weren't picked because they were good. They were picked because they were willing, and they knew it. Not one time did you read an article about the replacement players arguing over poor pay. I did read a story about a fellow who offered $100,000 if some owner would sign him. There was no jockeying for position, no second-guessing the management, no strikes, no lockouts or walkouts. Heavens, these guys didn't even complain that their names weren't stitched on the jerseys. They were just happy to be on the team. Shouldn't we be as well? Aren't we a lot like those players? If the first four chapters of Romans tells us anything, they tell us we are living a life we don't deserve. We aren't good enough to get picked, but look at us, suited up and ready to play. We aren't skillful enough to make the community softball league, but our names are on the greatest roster of history. Do we deserve to be here? Nope. But would we trade the privilege? Not for the world. If Paul's proclamation is true, God's grace has placed us on a dream team beyond imagination. Our past is pardoned, our future secure, at least we forget this unspeakable gift. The Apostle Paul itemizes the blessings that God's grace brings us into our world in Romans chapter 5. Number one, blessing number one, we have peace with God. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. Blessing number two, we have a place with God. Being ushered into God's presence is the second blessing. This happened through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And blessing number three, we share in God's glory. Got it? You got it. A future. You have it. And we are happy because of the hope we have sharing God's glory. It's all there in Romans. I'll figure out a way to share that article with you. It was actually a devotional that Max Lucado did from his book, In the Grip of Grace. Thought you would enjoy that day. It's pretty cool.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
The Sound of Life.
Now thinking about Ariane Abella, who spent her childhood sitting on her hands to hide them. She was born with fingers missing or fused on both hands. She had no left leg. She was missing toes on her right foot. She happened to be a music lover and lyric soprano. How'd she get that way? Well, she planned to major in government at Smith College, but one day her choir teacher asked her to conduct the choir. Are you serious? That made her hands quite visible. But from that moment, she found her career. She went on to conduct church choirs and is now serving as director of choirs at a university, another university. She said, "My teachers saw something in me." It's an inspiring story, isn't it? And invites you to ask, what does God, our holy teacher, see in us? Regardless of our, quote, limits. Because we all have them, right? As Jason Gray likes to say, who stutters, he said, most of you can hide your limits or, you know, defects or whatever he called it. But he said, I can't. When you stutter, it's right out there in the open. But more than anything, God sees himself. You believe that? Yep. God created us, human beings, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. That's in Genesis in the Bible, chapter 1, of course. As his glorious image bearers, we are. When we see others, we should reflect him. For Abella, that meant Jesus, not her hands, or her lack of fingers matters most. That's so good, isn't it? The same is true for all of us. And you know what the Apostle Paul said to the believers in Corinth? He said, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image. So similar to Abella, we can conduct our lives by Christ's transforming power. Pretty cool. That's a cool devotional today from Patricia Raymond. Lord, thank you, God, for making me in your image. Help me to apply this fact to all of my life today, in Jesus' name.
The Sound of Life.
Well, I know you've been like going, what in the world kind of vending machine is the coolest vending machine? That question was asked on Kuwara recently. You know, vending machines, they got your favorite snack in there. You know they got your favorite because there's about a million items in there. You start looking, you go, they got peanut M&Ms, man. How much is it? $3? I don't care. Anyway, swipe your card. Who cares? And that's the way it is nowadays, you know, and no more coins getting hung up in the machine and banging it around and all that stuff. But the coolest machine, apparently, is in the 16th Street Mall in Denver, Colorado. And the person that answered this question said, you know, I was with my father. It was on a snowy night, and there was this bright red vending machine with bold white lettering on the front and the sides, and it says, giving machine. It gets your attention, doesn't it? Bright red giving machine. Came across it 6 days after Christmas in 2019. He and his dad walking around in Denver, and boy, he decided to take a look at it. He said, we were not disappointed. A giving machine. You swipe your card, it yields more than soda or some Ruffles. you purchase a dozen meals to a homeless shelter, or a goat for a family in Bangladesh, or textbooks for an underprivileged school in Sierra Leone. And man, and around November, you buy Thanksgiving meals. You can for struggling families. For Christmas, you can donate Christmas gifts to impoverished children, both in the U.S. and abroad. And that Christmas gift may be a goat. Could be one of the best things they ever got. It's a simple way to give back and an extremely innovative method of streamlining charity ventures while allowing you, the benefactor, to have a choice in where your money goes. Wow. In this particular one, there's like three of them side by side, unless it's all one thing, you know. The Giving Machine. There are 10 of them around the world as part of a campaign known as hashtag Light the World. Now, disclaimer, okay, this is a campaign is run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was very surprised at that. They partnered with UNICEF, and which is another nonprofit organization, of course. The church covers all the cost of operations. Your money goes to the intended use, okay? So they're just facilitating it. But I thought, wow, it's very, very interesting. Is it not? This particular person who was answering said, my dad and I, well, we picked one cause to donate towards. He chose to buy 20 meals for a local shelter, and I chose school books for a child in India, a cause that is very close to my heart. That was it. Punched a few buttons on a vending machine. We touched lives of people halfway around the world. He said, it's a bit magical, isn't it? Call it whatever you like. But it is really the coolest vending machine out there, isn't it?
The Sound of Life.
A couple things kind of conversion. One is Focus on the Family and their effort, which is at their website, focusonthefamily.com. And I'll let you know more about that in just a second. It's really pretty cool, focusonthefamily.com. But he's an NFL star, Ben Watson. He's got a Super Bowl ring for the New England Patriots. Sorry about that, but, you know. He has been working very hard and believes in something very big. And he's doing this series. I was watching the trailer for it. Basically, it's kind of like a documentary. It's a series of interviews and stuff. And him and his wife, Kristen, of course, get the wife in on there. They're passionate advocates for life, for unborn life. Their new film is called Divided Hearts of America, and they created it to challenge and also educate us when it comes to the issue of abortion. Yeah, and they said this is about human dignity. It's about sanctity of life. It's about empathy, or as Scott Klusendorf says, he's with Focus on the Family. Here's the question.
Here's the question we are divided over. Who counts as one of us? And every one of us, Jim, have to know how to step up and make the case that the unborn count as one of us. And we're following the command of Scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We're to do that graciously, but persuasively.
There you go. And this Divided Hearts of America, I'll post the link for you. It has interviews with people from, quote, all over the political and social spectrum, including a number of leading black pro-life advocates, Dr. Ben Carson, Alveda King, and U.S. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. And boy, I was going to put some of the quotes up there, but I'll let you check it out for yourself. It is something that I saw a man in an automobile a year ago, probably, who had been to see the movie Unplanned about Abby Johnson coming out of Planned Parenthood. And man, he was on fire, this man. I mean, he's just a guy. He's just a black man in a car, and he is like, why in the world is the church not on fire about this? Why? What is going on? Anyway, get me going, and maybe I'll get you going as well, too. I'll post the link. You can check out the trailer, check out how to watch it. It's from lifenews.com, all this news thing right here. But that's where I got the information, lifenews.com. But I'll post the link to the movie on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page.
The Sound of Life.
Overcoming fears. Good for other people, right? You always encourage somebody. Oh, yeah, I think I would do that. I mean, it could be as simple as one time we were on one of those Habitat trips that we chaperoned. And I didn't know this, but one of the students really had a fear of heights. And there she was on the last day, I believe, up on the roof of the house. That's a big deal. You know, and everybody applauded and cheered. And there it was. I mean, that was a monumental thing. Right. So it all, you know, it's all in perspective. Right. And it's good to get that perspective, whether it was like Matthew West with his daughter going out snorkeling with the sharks. And then it actually happened. I was telling about it on his podcast, or the dad who's terrified of heights. I mean, you have a healthy fear of heights. But, you know, and again, I don't know what that means for him. Terrified. I have feeling maybe I may be in that boat. I've seen videos of people, and now they wear the GoPros and stuff on their helmets when they jump out of a plane. And I'm kind of on that side to think, if there ain't nothing wrong with the plane, I'm going to stay in it kind of deal. But the reason he did it was really pretty heroic. He has a son named Zach. And a couple of years ago, his son got diagnosed with a type of muscular dystrophy. It is terminal. It is slow acting. His muscles will start shrinking and stuff, you know. It's constantly limiting his mobility. And it came time for him to need an electric wheelchair. He is 8. I believe he's 8 now. And his father said, you know, we see the obstacles that he overcomes every day. He said, I should overcome one of my obstacles, and that is my fear of heights. And he said, we need to raise the $12,000 for the electric wheelchair. So he started a GoFundMe webpage, and he explained Zach's story and about the dad's fear of heights and how, if we get the money, I'm going to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, of course. And the GoFundMe, that it did the job. There's no doubt about that. So they were like 90% on their way to the goal. They've since surpassed that. And they admit, you know, they said, well, we look kind of rough on the outside, but inside, you know, we're just little teddy bears right there. But that is an incredible act of selflessness. Say, man, I see what you're going through. And so, you know, I think I should do something to help you out to be really pretty cool. So thank you, Josh and Dan, his friend, for reminding each of us and every one of us what true love looks like. You can learn more and follow about Zach on Instagram right there. I'll post that on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You're as funny as a cry for help.
The Sound of Life.
I'm so happy to see something that kind of affirmed me. Kind of feel like an oddball sometimes because people actually make fun of me because I get up and make breakfast. And it is early, you know, and so you have to get up earlier if you're going to, you know, do the whole thing. Tom used to say, man, that guy's like cooking bacon and making grits and eggs and all this stuff. He's like, wow, most people can't even think about eating that much at 4 a.m. But I do. I look forward to it. I start thinking about it the night before. Maybe that's not so good, but, you know, I do. And I do that. So I was very, very happy to see that on the list, which has just been published, of 20 things every 20-something should know how to do. And number one on that list is make a great breakfast. And I thought, is this, I think this is for real. This is very, from looking at the other 20 things on that list of that a 20-something should know how to do. Making a great breakfast is number one on the list because there is nothing like a great breakfast. Forget about that whole making your bed thing, first thing in the morning, starting the day right. It's making a great breakfast, start your day off right. And of course, there's number four on the list, which is incredibly important. And that is being able to parallel park. Yeah.
Prepare to be astonished.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
I say start small and work up. Now try again, boy. Kids nowadays know it all.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
I was watching something last night on television. It's captivating. Now, don't tell me if you're old enough to remember when the group ABBA came out. And it's a very fascinating story about this Swedish two women and two guys, you know, up there in a little island in that Swedish archipelago, which I did look up. I'm like, what? And that's basically where they were, and just concentrate on music. They just loved music and stuff. And the thing that really set them apart, though, when you listen, and somebody said this, they said those two women's voices were so harmonic together. They kind of sound like one, but they're, you know, you're like, I think it's two. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't see them, phenomenal. And they were phenomenal singers. As people have pointed out, just 1 second they're in one octave, and then boom, they're way up singing and stuff like that. Incredible talent. I believe that is God given. I do. I really do, because they have. I mean, you look at it and say, that's extraordinary. You know, it really is. Kind of like Mr. Abrams sitting on the in the stands there, watching Eric Little enjoy the. Feeling God's joy when he's running faster than anybody can possibly imagine. And he's like, how does he do that? What is it about him? May people look at you that way today and see a joy that only comes from God and think, what is it? You know, I want some of that. I really do. Well, I was going to get into a fact that is pretty amazing. First of all, I will tell you that, well, I'll just go over that later. Facts, you know, with the pandemic and the virus and all that's been said, we see the word scientific a lot. I've noticed that we're depending on science, right? You want some science? I'm going to lay some science on you. This is a fact, and I did not know this. I know that bees are just like a miracle. You know, just the way they can communicate and travel, and it just seems like the things they know are just pretty amazing. Like, how do they do that? You know, how do they communicate like that? The way they sacrifice for the whole group and stuff. However, there is something else that may be even more astounding. They have discovered that some plants, of course, depending on the bees to come to them so that the other plants will continue on the earth, somehow, and it's been described as somehow they know the bees are coming. Do they, like, hear them? I mean, I don't know. How do they know that the bees are coming? What is their response of these plants? They make sweeter nectar. Now, somebody was doing some mighty close evaluation right there. This just boggles your mind, doesn't it? This is amazing. So the plants make sweeter nectar to draw in the bees that they somehow know are coming. Isn't that, I mean, the things in God's creation. What does the Bible say? Creation speaks of the glory of God. It's pretty incredible.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
The Sound of Life.
We want to honor a man named Tom Burnett. Tom Burnett's a regular guy. He's getting on a plane early in the morning. A lot of people remembering and thinking about that. You know what it's like to get on that. For some reason, I see a plane overhead early in the morning. I think that ought to be illegal. I mean, you know, it's just brutal on you. All these people kind of coming awake and everything. And we found out that the terrorists took advantage of that. A Tuesday morning, a light day, East Coast planes all headed to the West Coast full of fuel, you know. Flight 93, just like that. His last act on Earth was one of the most courageous things imaginable. And I'll tell you what his last words to his wife, Dina, were. They were some of the most inspiring words you'll ever hear. Of course, the passengers on Flight 93 headed out and were making a big, got hijacked and they're making a big loop, took off out of Newark, right? And then they were coming back, and they had on their phones, they had all the cell phones going and everything, and people were reporting in, planes have hit the World Trade Center. You know, and they were hijacked and stuff. And then it became apparent that their plane was part of this conspiracy of terror. And they said this plane is going to go somewhere and hit something. They're going to plow it into something. We're going to stop it. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely amazing. They decided they would risk their lives in an attempt to overpower the hijackers, both to save their own lives and the lives of those who might be targeted. Their last words, Tom's last words to his wife were, and I quote, "We're going to do something." Some of the most powerful words ever said. We're going to do something.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.